Last week we started one of the minor prophets. The children are excused to go to the various churches. So if you will, turn to Jonah, one of the minor prophets. There are lessons to be learned from Jonah, and it has nothing to do with fish. As we begin our continuation of gleanings from Jonah, we summarize what had happened up to now. God had commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh, a city which he hated, a people which he hated. He did not have one bit of love for them. He did not have one bit of respect for them. And sometimes God will talk to you and I. He say, go tell that person standing over there about Jesus. Well, they're dirty, they're nasty. I don't want anything to do with them. You just failed.
That's right.
Not just the class, but life. You see, God has told us that we are to love everyone. And that is a very difficult thing for us to do because we all have our preferences. We all have our likes and dislikes. And we all have our, as we have grown up as children, we've been told, well, this is nasty and this is good. And all that God has done is good. And so Jonah was told to go to Nineveh, and Jonah said, no, sir, I'm not going. And so he went down, found himself a boat headed for Tarshish, and he bought passage on it and went down into the hold and went to sleep. And God said, okay, let's play games. And so a storm came up, and the ship was about to sink, and the crew on the ship offloaded all of the cargo that they had to lighten the ship so it wouldn't sink. And then the captain came down and found Jonah asleep. And he said, get up, you wicked guy, and talk to your God, and you know we're about to perish. And then they wanted to know who Jonah's God was and who Jonah was. And Jonah said, well, my God is the God of the universe. He's the one who made all of this. And that scared them, because they knew their God was not a powerful God. And you know, the world knows that. Most of the world's gods are people. And people have limitations. I can't make it rain. I can't make it stop raining. Now, I know the person who can. And so you can talk to him, and he, if it glorifies him, if it brings glory to him, if it works into his will, he'll do it. But God made this storm to come up, and there was a lot of stuff going on in this storm, and the men, all these other men seemed to understand that it was because of Jonah. They cast lots just to make sure, and isn't it a coincidence that the lot fell on Jonah? By the way, Jimmy Huxton, I think there's no such thing as coincidence. God doesn't work in coincidences. God works in his will. And he orchestrates these things, and he works these things out for you and I. What happens in our life is not an accident. What happens in our life has a purpose. And the purpose is for us either to be more watchful or giving us an opportunity to communicate to somebody we've never met before that Jesus loves them and he wants to save them. He wants them to have a relationship with him. Anyway, the men on that ship, even though they didn't know God, they knew who Jonah represented. And so they were concerned. They asked him, what do we need to do to get this thing fixed? And if you live for God, if you live according to the way the Holy Spirit leads you, people are going to come to you and ask you, what do you think God ought to do? And you're going to have an opportunity to say, well, number one, let's start by knowing who God is and how much he loves you and what he has done for you. And from that point on, then he can fix things. He can fix this situation for you. And he will if you'll let him. That's what we're all here for. If you don't think so, the moment you got saved, if there was no purpose for you in life after that, God would take you and take you to heaven with him. But he's left us all here because he's got a purpose for each one of us. He had a purpose for Jonah. So, Jonah told the guys, there's only one thing to do, and that's throw me overboard. Now, how many of us would have, if we'd been on the Titanic that day, that night, would have said, first thing we said was, throw us overboard? No. That's what Jonah told them. And so these men, they went to Jonah's God, and they said, please forgive us. Don't put this man's blood upon our hands. Forgive us for what he has told us we need to do. And they did. They tossed him overboard. And I don't believe the fish was just waiting there to swallow Jonah. I don't think he was sitting there with his mouth open at the rail. I think Jonah sank like a rock. I think he went down, 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 down into, he says went down into where the mountains originated. And he had the seaweed wrapped around him. And I think that's the time when the fish said, gulp. So there he was. I don't think he saw that fish coming. And when he opened his eyes and the fish, I know the fish hadn't swallowed any lanterns or candles. So he was in the dark, folks, truly in the dark. You and I are sometimes truly in the dark. We don't know what to do. We don't know where we're at life-wise, but we know we're there somewhere. And so, as Jonah did, it took him 3 days. He must have really been fighting with his conscience. But after 3 days, he called out to God, save me. God says, okay, fish. And the fish vomited him up on the shore of Nineveh. Isn't it amazing? He could have put him anywhere else. He could have put him over to Adana, Turkey, or somewhere in Saudi Arabia. He could have vomited him out anywhere, but he vomited him out right at the very place God had told him he needed to be. And if we let God use circumstance to put us where we need to be, we're going to have a pretty amazing life. It is going to be amazing. And it's not going to be hard. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be filled with joy because that's part of what the Holy Spirit brings. He brings joy. He brings love. And then he also brings peace. So Jonah, there was Jonah. The fish had vomited him up on the shore. And there he lay on the beach. That brings us to Jonah 3, verses 1 and 2. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. God said, I'll tell you what to say. And it's the same way with each one of us. If he says, go talk to that person, he's going to give you the words to say. You might say, oh, but I don't know what to say. Don't worry about it. God's going to take care of that. In your mind, the Holy Spirit's going to plant those words in your heart, in your mind, in your mouth. And you may not understand, you know, why you're saying what you're saying, but God does. And he will use you. I believe that Jonah at this point was too afraid of God not to obey. And that'd be a great place for all of us to be. Problem that we have is we're not afraid enough of God. We want to do our things. We want to do things our way. We want to go our own way. And God says, no, let me direct you. So I believe that God had put the fear of himself in Jonah. And Jonah, when God said go, Jonah went. Now, I want to make clear that none of us can do anything right unless we listen to God. You might think, well, I've got my plan for my own life, and I'm going to take care of this week and that. And that's not necessarily God's way of doing things. Verses 3 and 4, it says, so Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3 days' journey. About 120,000 people lived there. And that 3 days' journey, you've got to understand, Jonah was walking. He wasn't taking the bus or a taxi cab. Maybe a slow donkey, I don't know. But anyway, he was walking. And he walked into Nineveh a day's journey, which put him closer to the center of the town. God told him exactly what he wanted to do. In Psalm 111:10, it tells, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So I hope we all have a certain fear, reverential fear of God this morning. That we're willing to obey him when he says to do something. The verse goes on to say, a good understanding have they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Now, take notice that the fear of the Lord was just beginning the process in Jonah's life. When you got saved, there was a process. You were a small baby, like you would hold in your arms, and God was holding you in his arms. But you've got to learn. You've got to go to school, God's school, which we call life. And you need to learn what God has for you. You don't know it all at that point. When you went to school to learn arithmetic, you didn't tell the arithmetic teacher how to do it. She told you, or he told you. And it's that way with us. We have to learn from the people that God puts around us, and he puts the right people around us. Every time that, as Connie and I spent 30 years as missionaries, every time that we needed somebody who had a special ability, God sent them. And I have been observing that here in this church. Every time we've had a special need, God has sent someone to meet that need. And that he'll do the same thing for you every day. So Jonah had the fear of the Lord in his heart, but it was just the beginning of it. And fear sometimes, we talked about fear in Sunday school, fear sometimes becomes the motive for obedience. You know, it's like my wife and I, we used to like to go camping up into Canada. And a bear showed up one morning with a cub. And the cub on the side of the tent in the sunlight, as the sun was coming up, we were on a hill, that cub looked like he was about that tall. Mama was taller than I am when she stood up. I thought to myself, I don't have to outrun the bear. I just have to outrun Connie. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. When we are fearful, we are more likely to obey. And that was Jonah's experience. In John 14, 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, the Lord had given Jonah a commandment, and he has given each one of us commandments. I don't know what your commandments are, your communication between you and God, but I know there is, because there's communication between me and God, and so there's got to be communication between you and God. He's got something he wants from you, and he's got something he wants you to experience and joy and be blessed by if we will obey. It's when we don't obey that we get into sin. In 1 John 4, 18 through 19, it says, there is no fear in love. Okay, if you love God and he loves you, there's no fear. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And he has, folks. I can tell you here from the Word of God this morning, he loves every one of you. I don't care what you do, what your name is, how you're living. He loves you. He loves you enough that he sent his only son to die for your sin, so that he could have a relationship with you. And if you will accept his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he will love you even more, and he will communicate with you, and you can communicate with him. We open the service in prayer this morning because God loved us. That's why we did it. Now, it's going to become obvious here that Jonah was being obedient, but, and this is going to be sort of where we're going this morning with this message, he was obedient, but he was obedient for the wrong reason. He was scared of God. It wasn't because he wanted to do these things. And there are times when God may tell you, go talk to that person. And you say, well, I don't know what to say. I'm scared. Ever said that? Ever done that? And God said, I'll tell you what to say. We don't do it. And we have missed an opportunity. We'll never be able to recover it. Eternity may be different because we didn't tell somebody about Jesus that God said, go tell. I hope you never experience that. I have. And I regret it. And I'll never forget it. I remember a woman sitting on a bench with all of her physical belongings around her in plastic bags. And God said, go talk to her. And I thought, I'll get left behind. I need to keep up. And so I didn't talk. God has never let me forget that lady. I missed an opportunity. I hope you never do that. If God says, go talk to somebody, go talk to him. Obey his command. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. Now, do we obey because we're afraid not to, or do we obey because we love Jesus? Now, we may have the right answer for that question. If we do have the right answer, then why do we sin? We do. Why do we sin? Do we stop loving Jesus? No, I don't believe we do. We usually love ourselves more. We do. Just for a moment, just for a moment, maybe we love us more than we love Jesus. And so we do what we want rather than what God has said to do. I'm doing what I do out of love for Jesus. But I need to prove that love, and there are times you need to prove your love. I can prove my love for Connie by doing something that I really am not real fond of doing. I can wash dishes. And I do that so she knows that I love her. I can tell her all day long, but until I prove it, all she's got is my words. And words are empty vessels. Now, Jonah did the right thing, but he did it for the wrong reason. The last thing that he wanted to see Nineveh do was to repent and be spared. He did not want that to happen. Jonah thought that Nineveh deserved to be burned to the ground just like Sodom and Gomorrah. It was actually a city that was worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, and that was one of the reasons that he hated it. He did not love that city. He did not love the people of that city. Jonah did not want to see Nineveh repent. He did not want to see them do God's will. And sometimes, I don't know why, we get jealous of other people when they do God's will, and they get praise, and they get credit for doing what God wanted them to do and part of, get involved in God's ministry. And we get somehow resentful that that's not us. It happens. That's what Jonah did. So I wonder sometimes whether people are doing things that they want to do, if they're doing things because they're afraid not to do them, that they might not have the right heart attitude. Or I wonder if it's just my old carnal nature. So I have to resort to prayer, and I have to let God give me understanding. Jonah 3:5. So the people of Nineveh believed God. That's the last thing Jonah wanted. The very last thing. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. Jonah felt terrible. He did. The people were doing what God wanted them to do. God wasn't going to do what he said he would do. He wasn't going to annihilate them. The people of Nineveh were genuinely repenting and turning from their wickedness. Now, have you ever witnessed to a person because you knew God wanted you to witness, but you didn't expect anybody to get saved? And before you realized it, they were asking the Lord to save them. And you found that you were almost disappointed? Did that ever happen to you? Huh? Well, we have a picture here of what the whole city, large city, how they got their hearts right with God. People, we're here. We have an opportunity to witness to our communities. We have communities all around us, people who are lost. They do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. They don't even know why they're here, other than to please themselves, other than to enjoy some kind of satisfaction. Tim, would you turn on the fans? See, already we miss AB. He's usually got this thing under control. And we'll stir a little air and see if that'll help. There we go. Thank you, Tim. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and Jonah was so disappointed. Verses 6 and 7. For word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and he covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. God is truly glorified when the leader of a group or city responds to God in obedience. Can you imagine what would happen in this country if certain politicians believed and obeyed God? My. There would be people who would not know what to do. They wouldn't know how to act. How glorifying would that be to God? How wonderful a thing would that be to have things suddenly turn around and be the way they should be and the way God intended for them to be. Well, that's exactly what happened here in Nineveh. The king of Nineveh fully repented. He turned to the Lord. Just think of what would happen if Nancy Pelosi, I won't call her the Wicked Witch of the West. Nancy Pelosi got saved. Think of what would happen. My. I think I'd have to go to Washington, D.C. myself and celebrate. Jonah 3:8-9. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is there in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? The king fully embraced the fear of God, the fear of the Lord. He knew that they all deserved to be annihilated, but he knew that if they truly repented, God would have mercy on them, just like he's had on all of us. He's going to have mercy today on all of you. You may not see it right away, but when you look back tomorrow, you might say, well, God was merciful right there to me. The king didn't know God personally yet, but he was sure going to do everything he could, everything he thought that God might spare them, that God might show them mercy. Verse 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. None of us are in hell this morning because of what we did in our past life. None of us. None of us are expecting to go there. Because Jesus Christ has forgiven us. Jesus Christ died for our sin. That's the way Nineveh responded. Aren't you glad that our God is not only a righteous God, but he is a merciful God? Look at the mercy he has showed us. At this point, you would have thought that Jonah would have been happy. He would have experienced some kind of success or felt some kind of success, but he didn't. Because Jonah, what he saw Nineveh doing, put Jonah in a great depression. Jonah was pulling to see the city destroyed. Jonah was pulling to see 120,000 souls go to hell. How many souls do you want to see go to hell? What's the population of North Charleston? What's the population of Somerville? How many souls do we need to see go to hell to satisfy us? None. Not one. But that was Jonah's response. Look at chapter 4, verses 1-3. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Who was he angry with? He was angry with God. And there are times when we get angry with God. God does something and we say, oh, That was a mean thing for God to do to us. Or why did God do that to me? And it said, but he was very angry, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, look at Jonah's attitude. Take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Man, was he upset. Jonah was a man just like you and I. He didn't look at things the way God did. Jonah didn't see God using this event, the saving of Nineveh, as a lesson for Israel. Nineveh was not part of Israel, folks. Nineveh was part of another nation. But God was using them as an example of what God could do if Israel would do what God commanded. And we can be that kind of an example right here, just this little bit of us. It only took 11 men, 12 with Paul, to change the entire world, to turn it upside down. Wouldn't it be great if God used us to turn this world, this community, upside down? It'd be fantastic. I hope he will. He can, if we'll let him. Jonah was really unhappy. Jonah was so unhappy, he just wanted to die. You see, one of the problems that Jonah had? Jonah was prejudiced toward the people of Nineveh. And he was not willing to make any changes to how he felt about them because of his pride. His pride. That's why he wouldn't make the changes that were necessary. Even though Jonah was saved, served God, he didn't love the people of God, which would be everybody. Remember what I said? We all go back to Noah. No matter what your last name is. Noah didn't have a last name that I know of. But we're cousins, at least, at the very least. Maybe 1,022nd cousin, you know, something like that. We're closer cousins than Elizabeth Warren was to the Cherokee Indians. We're cousins. I'm so glad you got saved. I'm so glad I got to know you, that I can love you, that you can love me. I'm just so glad. And it should be that way with everybody around us. That should be our goal, is to get more into the family and get to know the family better and build our relationships. Jonah was prejudiced toward the people of Nineveh. Jonah's heart was never right with God. Yet God used him. How can God do that? How can God use you and I when we might feel like our hearts are not perfect with God? How can he do that? He can use us in spite of that because he's God. He did what God wanted because he was afraid of what God would do if he didn't. Jonah went through all the motions, but he didn't do it because he wanted to. He didn't do it because he thought it was the right thing. He did it because he was afraid not to. And sometimes you and I do what God has told us we need to do, not because we want to, but because we're afraid of what the consequences might be if we don't. We can choose our sin. We cannot choose the consequences. So there are people all over the world serving God, at least what looks like serving God, by doing the things they think God wants them to do, but they're missing the blessings because they're not doing it in their hearts. We read through the book of Jonah, and we see a man who obeyed God finally after going through some pretty drastic things, getting swallowed by a great fish, spending 3 days in the fish, then going on into the city. And Jonah never came to love the people that he was ministering to. And folks, none of us will ever be able to minister for God if we don't love the people that God puts in our lives. We have to love them. And they will, I hope they will understand that, because we love God because He first loved us. If we love them first, maybe they will learn to love us back. And take heed to what we tell them about the God who loves them. We need to make sure that all of us, our hearts are right, that we're not doing these things out of fear, but we're doing everything we do out of love. I think that's what makes us so successful, Tim. I think we all love each other. And I think we love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think we love His Father. And we love the people that He brings into our lives. And so I just want us not to be like Jonah. Jonah never learned. He thought more of the gourd that grew up and gave him shade for one day than he did of one single soul in Nineveh. Man. You talk about somebody being bitter. He was bitter. Bitter to the point that he even asked God to take his life. Jonah didn't see the value of 120,000 souls like God did. And I hope this morning that you and I will begin to see the value of the souls here in North Charleston, and then in Charleston, and then in Somerville, and then in Goose Creek, so that we begin to reach out and share the love of God with them. We do that when we send our missionaries out, and we're doing that. But you and I need to do that too, right here. Jonah didn't see the value of 120,000 souls. Will we see the value of the souls around us? What will we do about it? Father, thank you for giving us the example of Jonah to show us that we must have love for you. Father, help us to do your will for the right reason. Help us to do your will because we love you, you love us, and we love the people that you give us the opportunity to minister to. May your will be done in each heart, each mind. And Father, as we do your will, may we see fruit that abounds to your glory. And we will praise you, Father, for all that you do, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.